Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to sit down and lock in for the hottest 2 hours in radio with your hosts, Kevin Walsh.
Why the hell is Brian Daboll better than Nick Sirianni? So please someone tell me. Jalen Hurts, all this, people are like, I don't know if he can throw the football. Sirianni's been with it for 2 years and made the playoffs both seasons, and one of them he was an MVP candidate. And Brian Daboll's better? Why? Why? For what? Sirianni's not a coach of the year finalist. Because the guy was 7-2 and finished 9-6-1. Stop this crap. Sirianni outcoached Shanahan and Daboll. Easy. Smooth. Smooth. No problems about it.
And Donnie Wrightside.
The easiest thing to do with football fans is give them hope. They need a sliver and they're all on board. Who's thought this through from an NFL perspective on how you build hype into an all-star game? This was it? I don't know if I'm going to take any Eagles like player props outside of touchdowns because when they're up 30-0 at the half, I can't take it anymore. Like, that's my new angle.
On Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Monday post Super Bowl, the boys are back at it. Welcome back to the airwaves for Moneyline, right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159, DRS, K-Dub. K-Dub sounding fresh out there from the mean streets of Glendale/Phoenix, Arizona, watching the game last night well past my bedtime. And don't even get me started, K-Dub, on that game. It's kicking off at 6:45. You've got to be kidding me. But here we are today, a Chiefs Super Bowl win. Where does that leave the Chiefs and their legacy? Where does it leave the Philadelphia Eagles looking for that second Super Bowl title? But here we are on a Monday. How are we feeling out there?
Yeah, we're making it through. You know how it goes, man. I mean, let's be honest here. It's one of those things. You pop the TV on, you know, a little bit, you know, just background and highlights of the game. And
I know. That's the worst part.
You know, I'm good. It's funny because a lot of people were saying, "Oh, like, what are you going to get at the store?" And I was like, "There's some nice stuff there." I was like, "Here's the problem, though."
Yeah.
If this game goes wrong, and it obviously did go wrong, I'm like, I don't want to be walking around with Eagles, Chiefs, Super Bowl head-to-head merch. I don't need the Super Bowl fit. Like, I maybe, because I like the Super Bowl patches, I do think those are cool. So would I maybe buy a jersey that has a Super Bowl patch on it? I'll think about it, but I don't want to look at it right now. It's what we got to do. It's what we got to talk about. It's a great game, but, man, what a season. What a game.
Yeah, I mean, all the pageantry was there, everything to build up for 2 weeks, the two best teams in the NFL going toe-to-toe, the Eagles having a 10-point lead at the break, going into the third quarter, up 6, into the fourth quarter, tie game, down 8, tie game again, 5 minutes and 15 seconds left, the Chiefs get the football, the Eagles technically never see it again outside of a, 6-second pseudo Hail Mary from their own 40-yard line. Tough scene all the way around, but I think we can agree from football fans, and again, I preface this by saying, sure, I was cheering for the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday. Of course I was. But that bipartisan, like if you're just at a bar, you know, the Eagles aren't your team, the Chiefs aren't your team, you're sitting back there and you're entertained all the way through from the pregame to the game itself to the halftime, and you're like, oh my goodness, we really might see overtime in this game, or at least an epic drive for one team to win, one team to lose, or one team, or both teams, I should say, forcing overtime. We never got it.
You're you remove, you're right, you remove the fandom from it. Unless you bet the Chiefs or are a Chiefs fan, how do you not want Hurts and the Eagles offense to get the football right there, right? Which is an opportunity. That, you know what makes it worse, Donnie?
Yeah.
Is there's no doubt in my mind they would have scored.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind they would have scored. You know what I mean? It's really... Oh, it's really brutal. Oh, it's brutal, DRS. Honestly, I think they would have scored a touchdown. That's probably a bit high on the level, but I just they were so good, Donnie, yesterday on the offensive side of the ball. They really
AJ Brown down the sideline, Slim Batman on the other side. Dallas Goedert a 42-yard gain. They're inside the 20 with 36 seconds left to go, and it would have been fun to watch. But that's the part about it that upsets me the most. And again, I made good money yesterday. Lost on the Eagles minus 1.5 as one of my wagers, but I made good money. But at the same, like the end of the game, like I felt so deflated sitting on the couch after that flag going. Man, it was all set up right there just to see what they had, right? Did they get to the 50 and get stuffed? Did Chris Jones come up with a big sack? Was there a tip ball interception? Or did the Eagles actually drive it down with a legitimate chance to tie and or win the game? I just felt like I needed to see that. And that was the come down. I was like, oh, what a great game. Here we go. Because quite honestly, the Eagles really could have buckled down 8. And you know what? It's just not enough. And we'll go 3 and out again. Yeah. And the Chiefs would just run the clock and run it out. And they came right back down the field, punched it in, and got the 2-point conversion, like, wow, we're back in this game. And then you had a great drive by the Kansas City Chiefs, led by Patrick Mahomes.
The Eagles didn't get a stop, man. They couldn't get a stop. There's so many different things we can talk about.
Yeah.
And look, Mahomes was dialed. Reed was on his A game with every play call.
Mm-hmm.
Juju came alive. There's so much there, but that defense has too many guys. And here's what was happening last night. A lot of people said, see, we told you the defense was a fraud. I'm like, ooh, you were trying to say the team was a fraud. But the defense had multiple opportunities to step up, and they did not do that.
Yep, that's what happens. High-scoring Super Bowl. If you cashed in some tickets, good luck on you. But we'll be right back to talk about it much, much more on Moneyline on a Monday right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Work. Back at it, rocking and rolling here on a Monday post-Super Bowl. Which also leads us to, what the heck are we going to do with the rest of our lives? Well, this happens every year. This isn't the first time in NFL history that the season has actually concluded and we don't know what to do with ourselves. There is a lot of really good stuff. We're going to hit the phone lines in just a moment here, Kevin.
Yeah.
But I spent sort of the listen up saying, hey, you know what? It's okay. Like, we do this every year. It's a huge come down, regardless if your team played in the Super Bowl, won or lost. Football being over is really a sad time. But, Kevin, in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from now, teams and conferences will begin conference tournament action in NCAA. And if anybody knows anything, like, you don't have to be a steadfast, I love college basketball type guy, but I got to tell you, we do some of the most fun and interesting and locked in content. I love this. Give me 1 week, right? And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my goodness, let's really start looking at some of these brackets.
Yeah, look, we're going to get after it in a big way. If anybody needs a quick catch-up, all the blue bloods stink again, except for Kansas. All right? There you go. That's what's going on. There's no elite team in college basketball. Gonzaga even kind of stinks. Kentucky might not make the tournament. Villanova's definitely not making it. Duke and UNC are underwhelming. No two ways to slice that. Purdue just lost to Northwestern. Yeah. So, and Tennessee stinks, by the way. All that's going on.
Everybody's out on Houston as well, I appear at this point here. So.
Is that true?
Game? I was just saying maybe they were coming through Twitter like heavily over the weekend. Just anti-Houston accents here. Let's get to the phone lines here. 844-843-6879. Moneyline. Moose, it's a Monday. Feels like we've been off for 2 years, Moose. What's good?
I tell you what, everything is good. I even had a bad beat. I'll talk about that in a second. Kevin, you did a phenomenal job. I listened to you last week. It was good. You did great.
Thank you, man.
But probably the best thing is that Matthew Kendall French was born on Friday at 3:35 in the afternoon. I got mom and my grandson home, 7 pounds, right. 2 ounces. So, thanks. So, on Saturday, I'm doing good. I'm doing great with my shots on goal. Everything's going good. I got an in-game with Michigan State, spanking the Buckeyes, who absolutely stink. And so, I'm feeling good. And my props are hitting on Sunday. And then it happens. Then it happens. I put 6 units down on KC, right? Spot in Philly, 3.5. They're driving. Well, first he gets a 2-point conversion. I'm thinking, okay. Well, then he's running towards the end zone and he takes a knee and he cost me by the hook.
Yeah.
You know? But hey.
You needed a dumb
you know
play.
What?
That's what you needed.
You know? But that's okay because it's always easy to come and say on how well you're doing and winning and this and that BS. But, you know, hey. There's a losing side, and it's just being humble. Being humble is going to make you better and understand it. But starting to look at it, a lot of the shots on goal. But as always, you guys are great, and I'm glad you guys are back. And it's going to be great listening to you guys again. Thank you. Have a great day.
Beautiful. There's
hey,
the Moose checking
congrats,
in.
Congrats, man.
New addition to the family over to the Sports Grid family, right? I feel Moose is a Sports Grid, how can I put it here?
Staple.
Liaison. Exactly. Staple liaison. Like one of the family out there. One of the good guys. So good to hear that. Kids in here happy and healthy. And yes, that is a tough scene. There are some tough beats, though. When you know, like, they can score a touchdown whenever they want, but they automatically don't because it's in their best interest. It's just amazing how that actually plays out. Now, let's get to that final. We'll start there. The holding call at the end of the football game. Because you watch it. It's kind of crazy that it happened, but at the same time, was it the right call? We'll never know. Did we want to see the call? No. But if you're a Chiefs fan or Chiefs backer, have a Chiefs ticket, you loved it. Of course. Same thing with me. Like, if I bet a game and I got that call and I won my bet, I'm like, heck yeah, man. What a great call. Absolutely, that's right, supposed to call. We hear you on that. But in that big moment, it kind of stunk because, again, when you look back at it, if Bradbury falls down, Kevin, and can't even touch him, it's probably incomplete. Or they score a touchdown, which still gives you the football back. Because there was a piece of me, while Patrick Mahomes was running on the last drive, that huge run inside the 20, I was like, oh, I'm actually really glad he did that. Because now it gets you into the range where if you can just hold up one time, you get the football back. But it's not one of those where they're at like the 35-yard line, they can pick up a first down and run it. I was actually hoping like, hey, man, run that inside the 10. Because one way or another, you're getting the football back. But the absolute worst case scenario, the 3rd and 8, I'm like, oh, can you come up with a play here? Come up with a sack or whatever just to stop? The worst case scenario was the flag, and it ended an unbelievably entertaining football game.
I think the best kind of, you know, concession, kind of down the middle way, I think, to describe this, for me at least, is if they did not call that penalty, nobody is talking about it. It's not the play of the game. It's not, was it maybe that it's, I think it was, that is what it is though. All right, take your points and we'll see what the Eagles can do. And then we've all would have critiqued and criticized whether it was a bad job out of the Chiefs defense holding the Eagles or a bad job out of the Eagles offense executing with a 1:40 left, give or take. But the fact that it was called made it the play of the game. And it really was, Donnie, the worst case scenario for the Philadelphia Eagles there. The worst possible outcome was them getting a first down and not scoring. You know, and the Eagles tried to let Jerick McKinnon score, which is such an odd play. It's a great time by the Chiefs, obviously communicating, do not score, do not score, do not score. But I don't know, you start to get a little irrational. I'm like, can the Eagles push this guy in? What's the deal here, man?
Push him in, knock him out of bounds. Yeah. Carry him into the end zone, which we've seen that happen before. It's just kind of funny when it plays out. But it was very anticlimactic, but it's just the way it is. And granted, it wasn't Rams-Saints where somebody's head got decapitated on the easiest pass interference call in the history of the NFL, which they had to put a rule in that said, hey, if we have a catastrophic ending that goes wrong, we can correct it on the spot. That wasn't the case here. But again, it's not the reason. Like, a lot of people will wake up and say, hey, man, the Eagles lost on a bad call. And they lost on because they couldn't get it off the field. Like, the drive didn't start inside the five-yard line yesterday on that final drive. Like, oh, man, they got away with one. No, they didn't. It wasn't a 60-yard pass interference. It was they got the football on their own 25 with 5.5 minutes to go, and they drove down and scored and bled the entire clock. That's what a good offense does, and it was easy, too, Kevin. It wasn't even like you're going outside the 3rd and 8, which was finally a play where you had to make something happen. It was dink and dot, boom, 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 5 yards, 10 yards, sweat. Like, everybody was wide open, and it got to the point. It's like, just let them score. And then, obviously, Patrick Mahomes with that huge run. It would have been interesting to see if that was like a 40-yarder to sort of win it, but, you know, came way down in front of an old extra point, if you will, to win that game. And then it was, you know, they Hail Mary that went about 33 yards, which was incomplete, which was interesting to watch where that was the Eagles play as opposed to trying to inch closer to the 50 and give yourself a legitimate chance at the Hail Mary. But also, you know what else I want to talk about too, because we're running through some time in this segment. Next segment, like I really got to talk about the field because it was for a billion-dollar industry. The easiest thing you should have, and it's not even like not playing. Hey, guys, what did you want us to do? They played 7 high school football games last week on it. They tore it up and it rained. And, oh, man, what bad luck. This was a field that started to grow, Kevin, 2 years ago and cost the NFL close to $1 million. It's your crown jewel, the Super Bowl. It's supposed to be the most pristine conditions you can ever have. It's being grown in Arizona. It's played in a dome. And it reminded me of every time the NFL goes overseas to play a football game in England or the UK or Germany. It's an ice skating rink, and I can't figure out why. We never see this typically in their home ballparks. Why do we get it here in Arizona? What a disgrace by the NFL. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline on a Monday, kicking it off.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one. Right here on the grid. It's Moneyline. We're back in action. And boy, oh boy, it's a great, again, sad to see it go, but little Super Bowl, like, we're going to get through the Super Bowl. We're going to go line by line, what makes sense. Great way to put a bow on the entire season itself. But for me, I got to tell you, the super hot, like, because I'm going to prep, you guys know my story, right? 45 years old, lifetime Eagles fan. I went through the gauntlet of pain on top of pain on top of pain in all my Phillies fandom growing up. I was too young. I was 6 years older, 5 years old when the Sixers won in 83. I don't think I watched a single game or even knew what the Sixers were at 5 years old, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, my parents weren't taking me to Sixer games and, you know, getting me geeked up at a young age. And I also talked to myself as, I'm a self-taught Eagles fan. There was nobody, including my father, who, like, sat me, which I would have done if I had a son. Like, look, and I do to my daughter. Like, there's no other team you're rooting for. This is what we do. We're an Eagle family. Here's how you live your life. Nobody did that to me. So by the time I was around, like, I want to say 5th or 6th grade, the Buddy Ryan era came to Philadelphia, and it swept me off my feet. Like, this is the only thing I'm supposed to do. And I knew right away this is where I belonged. And all of those years of heartbreak, including, you know, 2001, 2002, 2003, finally get over the hump in 4, losing the Super Bowl, then going back to the NFC Championship game with the Cardinals. I believe that was in 08. They lose that one. But then finally getting over the hump and winning a Super Bowl, it was the single greatest time of my life, which anybody listening out there knows. When you love your favorite team, you've never seen it before and it happens, it's a wonderful experience. But I always joke with Kevin, like, boy, I've been becoming a really softer fan. You know, that year they lost in the playoffs They had the double doink, picked up the win, then lost the following weekend. It's like, that stinks. Except it was New Orleans, right? Yeah. Alshon Jeffrey and all that nonsense, which maybe they could have even made a run at another one. But over the years, and even this year, when they were really good, I remember like they're running hot at the beginning of the season when they lost to the Washington Commanders. I remember waking up the next morning and going, oh my gosh, like I'm getting that feeling again. Like I'm angry. They shouldn't have lost here. It was. And they had a great season. I was comfortable all the way through and confident against the Giants in San Francisco. But I sat there yesterday and cheered it on, like with my daughter. It was so much fun to go through the steps of pain, like when the game ended. And I got to tell you, when the game ended itself, I was down. You know, went to bed. Tried to stay away from like the highlights, just watched some Eagle post-game coverage. Everybody was all fired up. But I woke up, Kevin, and I felt really bad. Like, I felt like I got let down, and that's exactly what I needed. Like, I needed that feeling again to be alive of, boy, this is what it's like to, again, live and die and be a fan, where you wake up on a Monday and it doesn't feel so good. Like, it almost was that whole gamut of emotions.
It's funny, you sent out a tweet, I don't know, 2 days ago, whenever it was, of you were live. You always tell everybody, you were live during the Eagles Super Bowl win.
Correct.
That was the first time I ever had seen the clip, and I was like, oh man, that rocks, you know? Like, that was the first time I saw that. But I only saw it after the game was over and they had lost, and I wondered kind of just how you were about it, because you've kind of said, look, just the gap between then and now is probably going to be hard to ever truly, truly close. But I had a similar feeling to you, and I don't know what it is about this game, but I was significantly angrier at the Commanders' loss than the Super Bowl loss. And neither was without controversy. There's something about this game, and it's just every game leads to a different emotion, right? There's something about this game. It's just a heartbreaking loss. It is sad. I sink when I see the highlights. I feel for the guys that played well. This is, Donnie, the ultimate crystal ball that we've ever kind of done here. What if I told you that Jalen Hurts was going to outplay Patrick Mahomes and the Eagles were going to lose the game? Like, you never would have believed it in a million years, man.
Yeah, and by the way, I went on with Ben today on the morning after and, you know, talked again for another hour about the game and went through it all. And it was almost like, what's the final, like, thought process behind it? Well, we know Kansas City is always going to be good under Patrick Mahomes. But from last year to the offseason of, will the Philadelphia Eagles finally find their quarterback? And I remember, like, telling Ben, like, hey, man, Howie Roseman is a very smart GM. He wasn't going all in. He's like, hey, you know what? There's a opportunity where we might not be as good as we need to be. Our quarterback, Jalen Hurts, maybe he's not as good as he needs to be. We got to have ammunition with these quarterbacks coming through if we have to pull the trigger and do it again. And you end that game and go, this kid is a flat-out superstar and a winner. And I'm not even talking about just the game yesterday. But if you want a guy where you say to yourself, how can you settle in on a franchise guy? I don't know, do it on the biggest stage. Every time he needed a play, he would make one. And every time he steps in front of the microphone, we're talking about Jalen Hurts, just sounds like a pro's pro. Like, oh, man, would have been great. Like Geno Smith, right, in his 30s. Like, oh, would have been great if this kid got a chance at 23 or 24. Well, he is. And you can say whatever you want about the Eagles, you know, moving parts on defense, and they got free agents to come up. I get it. That's every NFL team. That's what they do in the NFL. It's the salary cap era. But if you're going to say, okay, you got Jalen Hurts with a solid offensive line, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert. Man, you got good times ahead. Because this doesn't feel like a flash in the pan and they figured out the Eagles' offense. It doesn't feel like that.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. And that, they were the, like, see, this is when it starts to get real sour grapes. I know people are going to get mad about this. But, that, like, Donnie, they were the better team. They were the better team.
Coming in,
they really were.
Pound for pound, again, as I like to say. Like this, and that's why I think it hurts a little bit more, because you felt the build up to the game, saying to yourself, the Eagles, and they didn't get lucky. Howie Roseman pulled the strings on a lot of unbelievable free agent / cheap trades that built this team into, hey, every single, they had no injuries. They came into the football game with the same starters they had to start the season. That's never going to happen again for the Eagles. So it just felt like that time they had to cash it in, and they didn't, but It's not one of those end of an era runs. Everybody's leaving. The coach is retiring. Jalen Hurts is 38. You see what I mean? Like, there's a lot of promise there, but it's just interesting to see it play out. Now, again, Kansas City perspective, they're not going anywhere. Like, they can lose. Like, Juju Smith-Schuster can go somewhere else, and, you know, as long as Kelce is there healthy, it's like, hey, is Kelce playing and healthy? Yes. Is Mahomes there? Yes. Is Andy Reid there? Oh, all right, they're going to be hell on wheels. They're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, we know that every single go around, you know. I think what is interesting is this Eagles fraud conversation that we continually
I don't even understand it. I don't. It doesn't make
sense. So, I saw last night someone compiles a list of quarterbacks they face and they're like, "Ooh, you know, you could only pretend for so long." And hey, look, man, you want to go out there and change that narrative and pretend that all year long you were just trying to say the Eagles defense isn't very good, go for it, okay? But that's not what you were saying. A lot of you out there were trying to say that the Eagles weren't that good, that the Eagles did nothing, they had not beat anybody, all that all year long, despite being in the Super Bowl. And they went out there and were up double digits at the break and lost by 3 points on a walk-off field goal to the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay? The reality is you were wrong and you were always wrong. That's the truth of the matter. And if that game plays out 10 times, the Eagles win it 8. They didn't win it yesterday. Okay, fine. That's how it goes. But, you know, someone tweeted at me, and it's all fun in games. It's fine. But I tweeted all year long, the Eagles are the best team in the NFL. And someone said, he goes, you know, say it. Say it's the Chiefs. I'll be honest with you. I still think the Eagles are the best team in the NFL. They just didn't win yesterday. That's just the truth of it there. Now, I don't really know how to explain why the defense made precisely zero plays yesterday, because that's what it felt like.
Yes.
But it was what it was, man.
No, nobody. Neither one of the outside of the, you know, Jalen Hurts basically gave them a touchdown, a little bit of a discombobbled play, fumbled the football. They pick it up and walk it back in. There wasn't much defensive plays. There wasn't, like, when one team got the football, it was like, oh boy, they're probably just going to walk it. Are you going to hold them to three, or are you going to get lucky where the big drop pass and somebody's forced to punt? That's what it felt like, honestly, in the game yesterday, which was really, you know, kind of mind-blowing, because the Philadelphia Eagles were built on pressure and getting home, and that was a lot of part of that handicap, was that Eagles front four gets organic pressure. You don't have to get after Mahomes, and you have an unbelievably talented secondary, and it just didn't work out. And I know the field did play some of those conditions, which I also brought up.
Yeah.
The Cincinnati Bengals game, snow on the field. They have a terrible offensive line, and they're injured. Nobody could rush the passer because nobody could get their footing. That was the Eagles. And it does sound like sour grapes from the Eagles at times, but both teams were, this is a horrendous field condition. But again, you had your chances. Both teams had to play on that. Even if your strength was defensive line and maybe the Chiefs wasn't, you still had to find a way to make it happen, and the Eagles couldn't do that, which again is a credit to Kansas City. Whatever Andy Reid dialed up at halftime, it was easy, because I remember sitting down, and again, Rihanna's out there, it's fun. I'm like, man, this is a long halftime. We still got a whole half to go. They're up 10. And I was saying to myself, can the Eagles get like a 3-and-out to start the second half and just recalibrate the game? Like, all right, we're in control here. They were never able to do that because that touchdown drive was so easy.
Yeah. And something, I don't know, it's just like it all hits you in waves, but you mentioned it this morning, I'm like, dang it. Like, he's right, like, the Chiefs got the football back with 5:15 left.
Mm-hmm.
That does not have to be the end of the game.
Yeah.
In fact, it should not be, right? Like, score or not.
Two timeouts, 5 minutes. Like, what's the best case scenario? Okay, they eat up 4 minutes and all your timeouts. Correct. Well, you still got over a minute where you can maybe kick a field goal or do something. That's what made it so anticlimactic, where it's like, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm explaining to my daughter, like, hey, it's 8 yards. If they get this first down, the game is over. And then I have to explain it to her. It's like, yeah, the flag gives you first down, and now you can, you know, do all that stuff. That's what made it. I even would have felt much better, Kevin. 3rd and 8, they get 9 yards, right? Like, you didn't even get a stop. But the flag, and again, if Bradbury tackles Juju Smith-Schuster, everybody's getting mad at Bradbury. I don't think anybody's mad at actually Bradbury. They're angry at the call in that spot at this time. Which happens. Hour number one underway here. Moneyline. Come on back with us after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're locked into the Money Line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Points, and more points yesterday in the Super Bowl. How about that one? Both teams in the 30s, easily hitting the team total. Something just popped up on my timeline here, which I'm glad it did because I wanted to talk about it and completely slipped my mind. We love the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's great. What the clean, like, honestly, forget about like our morning show is, you know, a FanDuel show. If you had to tell me right now, honest opinion, because we're not on a FanDuel show right now, which sportsbook do you like to navigate around? It's by far FanDuel. It really is. Like, I think it's the cleanest looking site out there. Gronk's $10 million kick. What was it? What actually, that was the big draw up?
The big confusion to me was it looked like he made it.
Yes, he
and
did make
it.
He
said he missed it. No, he didn't, yes. though.
No, but here, I'm going to tell you about it in a second. But yes, I see what you're saying because I saw it live. But it had the drama of, we're going to talk about this for 3 weeks. He's getting ready for a kick as if they were going to come back like after like a commercial break, like in between a quarter. And he was going to be on the football field and trying to make that kick. Instead, it was taped a few days previous. Now, the controversy. They show a different angle of the kick, which it clearly misses. But people are right to point out it wasn't the same kick, Kevin.
Really?
So they do such a bad job of like putting it together. Because, like, again, it was taped. So they could have done 37 kicks. Hey, you know what? Keep kicking them here. Sooner or later, you're going to miss one slightly like to the left. Did they put the wrong kick in there? Because they show another view where he clearly misses, like just off to the left. But in the kick on the commercial, that was made, and it was good.
But, and I haven't gone back and watched it, because basically I'm going off of the same information then as you. I watched it, I went, oh, he made it, and then I saw the little side angle, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess he missed it, and it was a bit deceiving. I didn't care enough to go seek it out. But here's what I don't understand. Why would they want the story of his kick to be that he missed the kick?
That's what I'm saying. Yes. That doesn't make sense. The whole thing goes of let's miss it, but then because it wasn't even Kevin. Oh, he missed it. 10 million was up for grabs. The split. That's a shame. And they could have played it off for the next commercial break, going back to Gronk, going, you know what? I feel really bad. We're going to give it to you anyway. Oh, look at that. You got to be kidding me. They wanted him to just miss it, fall down, and then say you won anyway?
But again, like that's why I'm really not capable of understanding what are we talking about here? Like, why would that's why I'm believing he missed it, Donnie, because I don't see why that would be their plan. Do you know what I mean? To like, because I'm not saying it wasn't taped. It was obviously taped, even though they put a little live bug on the side. But I was like, I guess they're just gonna do this once. And it just kind of is what it is type of thing. Could you imagine if, let's just say, Don, they ran it out there. He did one kick, he missed, and FanDuel went, well, sorry. And they didn't give out the free bet still. They did give him out, which is really, I guess, all that matters. That was enough. I also, by the way, like thought he was kicking it like on the field initially.
Yes. Yes, that was the whole, like, didn't you think that's what it was? FanDuel, official sponsor of the Super Bowl. Hey, by the way, like, even before the game, we'll do it. Like, you didn't have to do it, like, during a TV timeout where it's like, hey, picture in picture, we're going to show Gronk kick this field goal. But it would have been, like, at least climactic as opposed to anticlimactic. But at the same time, no, hear me out. You put me behind the scenes, Kevin. $10 million, right? $100,000 times 10 is 1 million, right? 10 times 10 is 100. You know what would have been great? Gronk kicks that field goal and they go, check your account. 100 people are about to get splashed with $100,000 apiece. Isn't that more like, isn't that awesome? Like, because I read the bottom line. I was like, hey, you might get a piece, and it was $20, which again, nobody's going to complain about a free $20 wager. But I feel like when you're throwing out like $10 million, like get your piece of it. Like, even if they said, like, hey, one person is going to get $10 million from FanDuel, I would have liked that. Like, whoa! Or, I don't know, spread $1,000 and spread it out how many times? It was just kind of interesting. Like, hey, we're going to put all this up into it. $10 million sounds great, but it's going to be like $5, $10, $15, $20 per person. It could have been like so much bigger and better. And also just throwing it in like a second half commercial, which you really didn't understand it at that point.
Yeah. It doesn't. You're right. There are other ways I think they could have gone about it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
10 people, million bucks a piece, done deal.
I'm not Don Draper, so I don't necessarily know what all the what the best advertising strategies would have been here for FanDuel. But from experience, I'm pretty sure Spread the Love would have been more effective than that. And it would have been more cost effective, too. Wouldn't it?
1 point scored in the game, $50.
No, but Spread the Love, Donnie, is something so special because people like to watch it. Be like, I've got the Chiefs plus 170.5. Like, Spread the Love is one of the best marketing campaigns that's ever existed in the history of marketing. I'll stand by that. I feel like maybe they don't want to go to the well too much on it, but for the they would have done Spread the Love for the marketing. They would have broke all kinds of records.
Yeah,
three. It'd have been Chiefs plus 350.5. I mean, it would have been tremendous. Yes.
You would have had a regional thing, like they split the country in half. All right, this one's going to get the Chiefs, this one's going to get the Eagles, and lay the wood on it. Where both teams got plus 300 points in the Super Bowl for a free $50 would have been fantastic. But someday, you're right. We're not Don Draper out here trying to. This is exactly what hits home with the people.
Yeah.
But what I saw in my timeline, everybody was doing pretty much the same thing. Now, I actually didn't pay all that much attention to the commercials outside of one, which was in the second half. And I was, you know, because I usually have my setup in the basement, my computer right next to me, just so I'm checking the feeds and all that stuff. So, and a lot of times I'm going up and down the steps just to see what's going on in the living room, upstairs and stuff like that, and then back to the game when it comes on. But I think it was a Fubo commercial or a Tubi commercial?
Oh, Tubi, right?
Yes, fantastic commercial.
Yeah, go ahead.
Fantastic, because my daughter immediately goes, what's going on? But I knew what was going on at this, like at the moment. Like, no. This is a great commercial here because there was nobody in the room that had like a remote or anything that was going to be doing that. So I was actually paying attention to the commercial as it started, as it changed. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is pretty clever.
So I was scrolling Twitter and I picked my head up when I saw the bloop bloop.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, and no one was reacting, and no one was really near a remote. So I was just like, I don't know. All right, I'm gonna play this cool because it was not my house. I was not gonna start screaming, "Who touched the remote?"
Like, if that was upstairs,
Donnie, if I'm with the basement brigade, insults are getting hurled there, getting real angry,
headlocks.
Yeah. Be like, who could possibly do this? And there would have been a lot of vitriol kind of coming down the pipe.
Yeah, that was a very interesting commercial, but again, didn't pay all that much attention. How did you feel about the halftime show? Because the Eagles were up 10,
yeah.
So I was in on it. I'm like, ooh, this is really good. Now, if they weren't in on it, and the Eagles were up, I would have had a different feeling, but didn't mind it. Liked the songs. Big Rihanna guy, so it was interesting to watch overall.
Yeah, I mean, look, Rihanna's an artist who I know all of the songs she performed, so... Yeah. That lands for me.
Low energy, though.
Well, look, it was confirmed, so you know, we don't have to dance around it. She's pregnant.
Yeah.
So, you know, she probably couldn't do everything. Now, I would imagine, I don't know, how far in advance do they decide who's going to do the halftime show?
Long time. Yeah, they get months.
So,
yeah.
My point is, like, did she know she was going to be pregnant the whole time? Was it a surprise? I don't know.
Yeah.
But good for her. Good for her and ASAP, all good there. But I think the performance probably would have been, you know, some aspects different if she was not pregnant. The odd thing to me is there was continually a lot of conversation about some surprise guest, and
you always get them in the Super Bowl.
But someone said that maybe like joke's the right word, but like the wink wink thing is. The surprise guest was the child.
Oh,
that's a little clever. That's a little clever there.
Like, you know what I was shocked about? I'm like, I saw Jay-Z before the game. I think it was him and his daughter walking around the field. I said to myself, I know Jay-Z is going to make an appearance. Umbrella's going to come on. He's coming out. there's going to be multiple people because, quite frankly, like last year's L.A. game, I mean, they smoked the house, man. I mean, that was the way to do a halftime show. I mean, they brought everybody who's anything associated with Los Angeles music out there, and they brought the house down. It was awesome, fun to watch, multiple stage sets, a lot more energy. This one was visually, it was fantastic because the roof was open. You had the, you know, fireworks going off. Everybody had the lights in the background. She's like, you know, which I think I would have died trying to sing, you know, even 3 feet above a playing surface at that point. So the eyeball test was passing, but it felt a little bit lacking because you're waiting always at the Super Bowl. It's usually five-star after five-star after five-star people just coming out and letting it rip out there. And it was only her. But again, yeah. Eagles were up 10. You could have thrown a dog catching a frisbee out the bag. It's banging right now. I love this.
You know what?
Yeah, so exactly.
You know what hit for me? So I almost was going to – this was the 2 cents I was going to chip in, Donnie, via Twitter. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, man, I think it's the first time, first halftime show I know all the songs. And then I went, wait a minute. Haven't the more recent ones be people I know? And here's what I realized. It's the first halftime show I've watched in years.
Yes.
They're doing in-game lives
exactly.
for 3 years now. The last three Super Bowls. And I had not been able to watch any of the halftime shows. So I was like, I realized, like, I don't know. I probably went back and, like, watched an Eminem. But there's difference when you go and watch it on YouTube and you're, like, watching as a part of the experience in the midst of the game. So I appreciated that a little bit more, that I was just kind of able to sit down and enjoy the performance.
Yeah, because in 2017, I was working in Costa Rica. So, you know, I didn't get that whole being home build up for that, like, 4 to 5 days before the game and all that stuff. And I ended up winning it. It was a fantastic time. Wouldn't it change it for the world? Because I always said, Kevin, that was where I was supposed to be. That's why the Eagles, like, I was supposed to be 3,000 miles away from my family. That's the only way, like, the Eagles were ever going to get a Super Bowl. And it worked out in my favor there. But even yesterday, going to pick up pizza and wings, I worked a decade straight as my busiest day of the year, where I would get into the shop at 6 a.m. and start knocking stuff out all the way up to game time, and then I would fly home 35 minutes away and miss the entire first quarter and a half and be exhausted trying to watch the game all the way through. So yesterday, the Eagles in the Super Bowl, it was so nice just to sit down and say, boy, the whole week build-up, fantastic. Friday getting off, awesome. Saturday, you know, going out to eat, having some fun. Everybody's in their Eagles gear in South Jersey. And Sunday, the game, I really enjoyed it all the way through. I just wish the game would have been a little bit different. But again, it wasn't as if, like, hey, man, the Eagles got beaten. Every prop I had was on the Eagles. That was an unbelievable prop game across the board, where just about everything had a chance to hit, no matter what you were betting, as long as it wasn't unders. So you could live with it that way, and this thing will wear off. It's just hard when you wake up in the morning and you're watching every show, and it's replays on NFL Network and all the way through, where does it stand and where do you go? It is what it is. That's football. But as we look forward to college basketball, the NBA, and my goodness, Major League Baseball's opening day is March 30th. Today is February 13th, a very short month. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Radio Network.
Wrapping up hour number one right here on Moneyline. Back in the mix after a week off of Moneyline. You people are going to get your fill here as we put a bow on the Super Bowl and look forward to the next sporting events, which are coming up rather quickly here. March Madness, Major League Baseball, NBA playoffs, and so on and so forth. But in this final segment, JP, get in here, because we called JP up on the line before. Hey, man, long time no here. Like, what did you do yesterday, JP? I mean, what were we doing for the Super Bowl?
Yeah, had a bunch of people over at my place. They were not very happy people.
And by the way, the weather yesterday, not great in this area. Not great in this area. Now, they would have been out in full force, you know, on Broad Street, win or lose, if it was really nice. May have saved the city a little bit of damages last night. So I don't think too many people wanted to go out in that cold, wet rain and, you know, get angry about a loss. But, you know, it was interesting nonetheless. Who did you actually, your prop bets that you had for the Super Bowl and bets, how did you do on those?
I did okay. I had the Eagles to win the game at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I had Tony to score. Tony
over.
I just took a bunch of yeah, I did. So not a bad day. That was the one that kind of saved me.
Yeah, props were good because I had them all laid out. Because I have to, like, you know, because I'm old, so I have to write them all down, like which book I got them in. And actually, I had 7 different books I used yesterday for the Super Bowl, which was fantastic. But everything was just like popping up. And the one I really liked, which again, I keep telling you, I got angry at, over 2.5 Eagles to score touchdowns. I said to myself, they're going to score 4 touchdowns in the game. That gives me a little bit of leeway. They scored 5 and it still didn't come in. Now, granted, you know what was interesting about that too? The first touchdown of the game, I was like, oh, good. Gainwell, I think, is down. That's going to give Hurts an easy touchdown. It's like, oh, that's nice. Well, if I would have known what was going to take place later on, it sort of ruined it because that would have cashed in another ticket. But it is what it is. Now, JP, do you have any action for tonight? Are we taking a breather? NBA action? College? No. Or are you going anywhere?
Let's go right back to the NBA. I'll go with a prop from the Nuggets Heat game.
There we go. And by the way, good call on the Nuggets Heat. I got a couple wagers in that game here, and I think I got a pretty good line. Just waiting on some starting lineups here. But hour number 2 is upon us now. If you want to call, come on, 844-843-6879. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.